Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Advanced Warfare. With me today, as always, is myself. Screw Scott. I'm kidding. Scott's here with me, as always. Today, we've got some awesome news coming through. We got some new rule sets dropped with the Vash Tor. We also got Azreal, and we got an Army of Renown with Vash Tor, which I've been tooling around with quite a bit. I'm not going to quite give you my secret sauce yet, but I think that they're kind of fun. I've been calling Vash Tor Cash Tor because essentially you have to buy him to play the army that's good. So, but he does nothing because he's terrible, but we'll go over that anyway. And then we're going to go over some Adeptcom prep and you know, maybe a couple practice games that we played. I've got my trusty dice in front of me, so boom. It is what it is. Scott, what's happening? Anything for us right off the bat, the get-go?
I think kind of the biggest thing is they had a MetaWatch article that came out today, and it shows Dark Angels at a 59% win rate, which is probably not shocking to anybody following the meta.
And I bet that's being padded by the people who are not running Deathwing and Ravenwing. So probably more like 60s to 70s, but what do
I
know?
Yeah, Greenwing is probably pulling it down a little bit, but that's okay. GCR Call is sitting at 57%. I can say, you know,
I played as them, and I scored an 80s or something without even like trying. Like I played the second time playing the army, and I was like, this is ridiculous how easy their secondaries are, but whatever.
Yeah, I played a pretty experienced player on Monday with it, Tyler DeVries, and he got a 93. I got a 91, but he got a 93. So it's like just their ability to, if they go first, those bikes with a 9-inch pregame move and then a 14-inch move afterwards, where they can just pin you back, it's really, really powerful. And then just like, if you don't kill off the 20-man squads, if they have the acolyte back there, they're just going
to
regen.
Well, that banner is the last dude to go down, I guarantee. Rats people.
Yeah, I made sure when I was like getting him into combat that I'm like, where is the banner? I'm tagging him. I'm going to sit right next to him so you can't get out of combat.
So GSC, Dark Angels. Now, there's an interesting thing that came up in our club chat that people are curious as to why these Space Marines on the MetaWatch are being lumped together versus not. Like, the Dark Angels are a supplement, just like the Templar, but they're not, you know, Dark Angels obviously have their own, you know, spotlight, and the Templars don't. So what are your thoughts?
And Wolves and Blood Angels are being separated out. So it's like kind of the ones that are classic ones that were split out in the past are still being split out. But technically they're supplements, just like Iron Hands is and White Scars. I wish they'd kind of break it down a little bit, because like Marines have a 48% win rate, and it's deceptive, you know. Yep. You know, that includes Imperial Fists and Crimson Fist players and Ultramarine players. And Iron Hands players, and even Iron Hands players that are playing like the successor, the Whirlwind of Rage, and Master Artisans one.
I mean, the good one.
Yeah. from what I've seen on some of like some of the other like Goonhammer stats, and then Stat Check their stats, they're showing like a 72% win rate for that Whirlwind of Rage one. So experienced Iron Hand players are playing those. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Well, I mean, the efficiency of that list, just how, you know, that reroll to hit is so good when they're already rerolling all ones on heavy weapons, which is pretty much every weapon they have in their army.
Yep.
Outside of like the
grenades too, baby.
Yep. I think they have a great Vanguard Vet squad normally in those armies too. So
yeah, with Lightning Claws too, so they get the double exploding, or they get the exploding hits.
Yeah.
And then reroll the wound. They're pretty good.
Yeah. It's a solid. Solid army. I think it has its weaknesses. It can be beat, but it's strong. And then, I mean, even the Black Templar that you and I have been playing and kind of goofing around with some of the stuff there, I feel they're so much stronger than like an Imperial Fist one. Since like, you know, this balance side of things where, you know, a Vanguard Vet in a Space Wolves army is so much more valuable than a Vanguard Vet in an Imperial Fist army.
Yep.
Same with like a gladiator, you know, and it's like, and all these are just the same price, and you have these vastly different power levels of like chapter tactics in there.
Like a Blood Angel gladiator is terrible compared to an Iron Hands gladiator.
Correct. Yeah, you would never. I mean, you should probably don't ever see it there. You shouldn't.
There are people out there that like that kind of crap.
They are, but in a competitive environment, you're probably not going to have the success that somebody's running Iron Hands doing that, or running different, or running, you know, the Blood Angel specific stuff, you know, like Death Company and things like that. So it's just, I feel like that just kind of, when they lump it all together, they're not really seeing the true issues in the game. I hope that GW, you know, this is what they're showing us from, like, you know, this kind of marketing. This, anything on Warcom is marketing for the most part, but I hope the guys that actually make decisions behind the scenes are looking at other data points. These are valuable data points. They're just, but they're just a data point. There's other data to look at, you know. Tournament wins is a big one. You know, who's winning the tournaments? You
right.
Know, so it's and what did it take to win that, when you did win that tournament? What kind of win path did the champion have? Did they dodge Dark Angels for whatever reason? There was nobody showed up with Terminators, something like that. Yeah, it's an interesting right now. Death Watch is sitting at the bottom, and Thousand Suns is sitting at the bottom at 42%. So, oh, how the mighty has fallen with Thousand Suns there.
But, right.
You know, without the Flamers and then the loss of Armor Contempt, they're just not as strong anymore. It just, I think, all the free multi-damage weapons, it hurts. Thousand Suns don't get the All Is Dust then. So.
Right.
All those free Meltas.
Yeah, all the free Meltas. All the free Meltas. What would you guess that the Templar win rate is right now?
I would say it's probably 52, 53, somewhere in there.
Sure.
Just because I don't think it's that popular either. I haven't looked at StatCheck. I don't know if you have that data or not in front of you. That's why you're asking.
Maybe.
So what is it at?
It is at a 53%. Pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's some skew lists, and I just think it's not popular enough with, like, some of the, I think the top end players, the really super competitive players, are playing Dark Angels and Gene Stealer Cult, and they're playing Iron Hands, because those just, I think, straight out of the box are easier to play.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, like the list that you took that was 5-0 with the Terminators is a little bit more of a skill army to play than, not saying Iron Hands is easy, or even the Dark Angel Terminator list is, like, there's some games I'm sure you can sleepwalk through the Dark Angel Terminators, but they're, I think at some of the higher level ones, there's stuff there that takes skill to get through, you know. That's why, you know, guys like Charlie Andre are going 5-0, and Steve Crawley went, I think, 9-0 or whatever it was at there. But there's other guys that are going 3-5 or 3-3, so.
Right.
If you're not stacking your buffs properly, you're going to die.
Yep.
I think one of the fun ones I love to see is that orcs are at 54%, so they're holding strong.
Dude, I got to tell you, they caught me so off guard. I tell you, I already said that in the previous episode, but man, just how fast they are on GW terrain. Like, they shine on GW terrain for sure.
Yeah, and I've heard people describe them as, like, orcs are the Necrons of Arcs of Omen, I guess is the way somebody described them, because they score secondary so quickly and so easily, but yeah, they still die. But they punch a lot harder than Necrons do, I think. So
Way harder. Get the good bits is so good.
Yeah.
So good. Minimum, or like maximum 6 per turn. Get out of here with that. That's so much.
Yep. And Necrons have fallen to a 45%. So there's, I think the nerfs to their secondaries kind of is showing there. And then I think people just know how to play into that army now too. So.
Yeah. And you know, I played Necrons at the height with my Emperor's Children, and you know, there are ways around playing through it, but I could see the ease of having OPSEC everywhere with pregame moves, just how much pressure that can put on, and that some armies just can't recover from that. Yep. But
yeah, it's kind of like what G-Star Cult is capable of doing right now, where with the bikes, that pregame move, you just pin your opponent in turn one, and they can't. It takes them 3 turns to get across midfield, and by then you've won.
Yep.
I mean, you're going to be in the 90s for your score at that point. So.
Yep. Agreed. Let's talk Azreal. So this guy, I got to say, he went through the Rubicon, or whatever it's called when you become Primaris.
I think it's Rubicon.
And this dude came out with an extra wound, an extra attack, an extra damage on his sword, but he's 30 points more. I don't know. It's just, to me, I wanted to add some flair to him. Like, as an example, okay, they kind of did the same thing to Helbrick, but Helbrick's just better, I think, because the big thing that Azrael's missing is that all these new sweet characters are getting sweeps, ways to not get bogged down by the masses. I don't see how he's going to wade through GSC with 7 attacks. You know, Helbrick can get up to 16 if he's buffed right. Yeah, he'll go through some GSC, but... And now, granted, I think that they should have their own flavor, but I think these characters that are like chapter masters or whatever, that have great utility, need to be able to deal with lighter infantry. Because what we don't want to see happen is suddenly we're fighting 200 fearless termagants and we're never ending the game, ever. So...
Yeah,
not saying that that's going to be the case, but like, I think GW understands this, and a lot of you guys out there understand this, is that Horde is actually, in my opinion, bad for the meta, just because it slows down the game so much with all the pylons, consolidates, especially Horde melee, because you're touching those models 3 times a turn, so maybe even 4 times a turn if you have like a maximum 3 times a turn, we'll say. Because you're not Charlie Andre. You're not going to touch it 700 times and then decide where it goes. Ha ha! But no. Yeah, I mean, so you're moving a lot of pieces 3 times a turn. It adds up. And not even to mention the dice rolling that has to go with that. You know, the players I've seen successful with Horde armies had, like, bricks of specific... This is a full squad of shooting of guardsmen or whatever in a brick. And they're like, they just toss the brick down. Scoop it all back up, toss it. You know, that way, but the fact that you have to do that to successfully engage a person in a 3-hour game, it's bad. Not everybody can do it.
And that's also, and like the Horde armies, if something unexpected happens in the game where they have to like kind of think through like a problem that's been presented to them, that can cost them the clock. They don't have enough time to roll everything out. They don't have time to think through some issues that come up, you know, leads to mistakes sometimes too.
The only time I have become danger of clocking out outside of like 2.5-hour rounds, which is, don't get me started on 2.5 rounds. That's way too, not enough time. Like I'm talking 2.5-hour rounds where you get to your table and basically you have 2 hours and 15 minutes to finish the game. That's, if you have a close game, that's not happening. But the only time I came close to clocking out was playing AdMech, and I had 100 bodies. And even just moving and shooting that many dice almost clocked me out. I think I had, like, what was it, 4 minutes left in the finals of the Show Me Showdown? It's just, and I'm a fast player. I'm notoriously fast, actually. Most people know that when they play me, I play fast. And it's because I'm a reactionary player. I react to what you're doing. And these other people who are a little bit more aggressive and more forefront thinking rather than I'm going to solve the problems you just presented to me, they're going to run out of time even more. So Hordes are just not in a good place in this meta. So it is kind of surprising for me to see GSC up there, but I'm assuming that it's shooty GSC like Tyler's running because... Yeah. Combat GSC, if you fail your charge, you're just dead. Like, they don't have a save. So,
I mean, when I played Tyler, like, so I outflanked both my Reapers and an Impulser. When those two Reapers came in, I think I picked up over the next 2 turns, I think I picked up 80 models just with them. They look at a 20 man and just go, you're gone. Disappear.
You know, I love me some Reapers.
But yeah, so, like, back to Azrael, like, you know, he's probably not as strong as some of the other chapter masters, but his model's pretty sick. I like the way it looks. You know, you have a helmet or no helmet option.
It's no wipey boy Helbrick, but it'll do.
Yeah, he's got his little, like, I don't know, baby guy that's either holding
the watcher
like
in the dark.
Yeah, he's holding a scabbard or
his helmet.
Or his helmet.
Scabbard or his helmet.
Which I think is a pretty cool little model. He's cool. I like the robes on him, like. When I first came into 40K, I really liked the robed monk like looking space marine. So like Dark Angels were something that I thought was cool. Not really into the army itself, but I always thought the models looked really nice.
Yeah, I agree, and they look pretty good. But I just don't know. Like he brings the same utility. He's a little bit more pricey. You get the option to do like Gene Rot might and to transhuman him, which is decent. But like if he's getting into combat and you need him to do something, you're in some trouble with Dark Angels.
Yeah. Well, and I the other thing that kind of like Charlie is brought up now is he's because Charlie ran Azrael in his Terminator army because he's a good utility piece.
Well, back then he
And
needed the 4-up Embalm because he couldn't afford all the Thunderhammer Storm Shields. So Azrael was a conduit for that.
yeah. But and like now, like because everything's free, all the upgrades are free. Like trying to find 30 points in your army, like normally you just drop off a couple rocket launchers or something like that, or change a couple of Thunderhammer guys to claws. But now you can't do that to like find that 30 points. You're dropping models, which sometimes can cause you to drop whole units, or now you can't combat a squad because it's 9 instead of 10. So it does change up the army pretty significantly when you like any type of balance tweaks just really can destroy an army really quickly, you know, by adding a point or two even to just a single
Right.
model type. So
Right. So we'll see. But
yeah,
I'm not real
let's talk
sold on
about
Ezreal.
yeah. He looks cool.
Yep.
We'll see how good
Well,
he's
let's
used.
move
Let's
on
talk.
to the next guy that looks
Yeah.
cool. Trashtor, I mean Vashtor.
Oh
So
God. His
I
rules are bad, but his model is pretty freaking awesome.
like his model a lot. It's like a naked toga dude running around slicing stuff up and hitting it with a hammer. So
Yep.
it's like some dude overgrew his pants, like the Hulked out of his pants, and now he's just got a dick cloth down there just to hold everything in. Anyway,
Yeah.
so Vashtor, the Archiphane, he's 13 power level. He has 3 tiers because he is a 14 wound model, so he does tier. He moves 12, and his movement is one that degrades, so it's 12, 10, 8 as he gets down to wounds remaining. Weapon skill 2, Bliss skill 3, those do not degrade. Strength 7, T7. And then he has 14 wounds to start. He starts with 7 attacks. That goes down to 6 and 5, respectively, on his degraded. And he has a 2 plus save. His abilities is he's got Warp Strike, so he can Deep Strike. And then Body of Unholy Artifice, which this model has a 4-up invulnerable save. Each time an attack is allocated to this model, subtract 1 from the damage characteristic of that attack to a minimum of 1.
The
So his
dreadnought.
weapon. Yep, it's got the Dreadnought rule. Your army can only contain one of these guys. Shocking, he's a spectral character.
Yeah.
Vashtor's Claw is 12 inch range, it's assault 6, strength 5, minus 2, 1 damage. Flamer, so it auto hits. That's terrible. I mean, and
It's not
then
great. Yeah,
Vashtor's
but
Hammer, which this thing's not bad, but it's a melee weapon, but it's strength times 2, so it's strength 14. AP minus 2, questionable. And
Thunderhammer.
then damage 3, so it's a Thunderhammer. So my question here is that a regular Space Marine Firstborn Dreadnought is AP 3, correct? With his fist, I believe it's AP3. So this guy's hammer is not as good.
Well, his hammer does have the special rule against vehicles. If you roll against a vehicle, if you're an unmodified 5+ to wound, it does flat 4 mortals and nothing else. So, in a
You
vehicle
could just
heavy,
have that blurb be automatic. If you hit a vehicle with this, it's 4 mortal wounds.
it's still not great at
And
all, but
this. A Thunderhammer Storm Shield turn, and Space Marines have no way to increase this, by the way, because he's an agent of chaos. He can't have Legion traits, no way. So he just gets extra hits. So the thing of that, my concern about this is that he walks into, oh, 5 Dark Angel Terminators with his 7 attacks. He will get 6 hits, 3 wounds, and possibly 1 dead Terminator because they have a 3-up versus this hammer. Because a Storm Shield is a 1-up. So
yep.
he might kill a Terminator at 260 points.
That's assuming the Terminators with their rockets didn't shoot him dead before he got to them, because he
That's
can't be
also
character
fair.
protected.
And the kicker that made me just like a little bit see red is that his warlord trait is Lord of Terror,
What's
which
the negative one?
that's the one where you ignore modifiers to their attrition tests. And they can't use the insane bravery stratagem near him and stuff like that.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not great. So you kill
like,
that
like
one.
The Night Lords one or something?
Yeah, no, it's a main book one for the Chaos Space Marines. But the thing that it is, it that cracks me up. It's like, so you killed that one Dark Angel Terminator, and you are the Warlord, but this nothing else happens. That's it.
Okay.
But let's go over some of his
anyway.
Keywords, because he does have some cool keywords. Obviously,
what's
he's
the Will
Chaos.
Of Arcaphane stuff? What's the you missed? I didn't. Don't think you went through the Will of Arcaphane.
I will go through that as soon as we get through the keywords.
Okay.
He's Chaos, obviously. He's Heretic Astartes, Traitorous Astartes. So he has the correct keywords for the CSM stuff. He's a monster. He's a character. He has Fly. He's a demon. He's an agent of Chaos. And he's also keyword Vastor the Arcaphane. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. So now let's go to the Will of Arcaphane. These are his abilities.
So he's a demon without a demon save?
Yeah. Correct. So let me be clear. He doesn't have a mortal wound save, right?
Yeah.
So if he eats a Tau railgun to the balls, what does he do?
He dies.
He dies!
Well, I think a Tau railgun does 12 max.
Oh, whatever. But the funny part is like I've seen a meme going around. One of the people that's a Patreon here posted it, Miles. I love it. It said... Vastor is talking to this. Vastor is an old lady, and he's talking to this like caretaker. And he goes, "I'm gonna be the fifth Chaos God," and they're like, "Sure, Vastor, let's get you back inside, like back inside the home." I like that. But anyway, let's get back to the Will of Arcaphane. These are in the command phase. You can select one of the following abilities. So you only get one of these. Which, by the way, I'm just fully reading it now. I thought he got all these abilities. They suck even when he has all of them. This one isn't bad. This one is Unholy Mechanisms. When you use this ability, select one friendly Traitor Astartes demon engine, excluding characters, aircrafts, or Titanic, so no Lord of Skulls, within 3 inches of this model until you start your next command phase. That whenever that model makes an attack, add one to the hit roll. That's not bad. But I think a Warp Smith, who's 80 points, does that. So,
and don't demon engines hit normally? Some of them hit on fours, even, don't they? Or they all hit on threes now?
Most of them hit on threes now.
Okay.
The other one you can pick is Ghost in the Machine. When you select this ability, select one enemy unit within 18 inches and visible to this model. Keep in mind, this is in the command phase, so your opponent has an entire movement phase before this. And you have to be visible. So you could just walk back on obscuring. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. Until the start of your next command phase, have the range characteristics of range weapons models in that unit are equipped with. That sounds awesome, except for it needs line of sight, it's in your command phase, and it's 18 inches!
And if he can see you, you can see him, and that means he's going to die if you have any shooting.
That's exactly what I want, is a 14 wound model with a 2-up, 4-up exposed. All right. Next one, Agonize Machine Spirits. When you select this ability, select one enemy vehicle within 18 inches and visible to this model. Until the start of your next command phase, have the move and attack characteristics model in that unit.
You made my Pulsar have one attack, or two attacks instead of three.
What vehicle outside of a Dreadnought is going to care about its movement halved? And its attacks have. Oh no, my Wave Serpent, it moves 8 inches now. Your Arcaphane is dead. How'd that feel?
Oh, like,
I don't know what to say.
You made my Gladiator move 5 inches. You're still in Melta range. You're dead.
I just don't know what to say. But let's move on to the good stuff. That is Trash.
Oh,
I mean, Vastor.
I don't think we mentioned it. You said power level 13, but he has 260 points.
Yes, 260 points, and he gets one ability. It's super good.
So he's an eighth of your army, but he does up the.
He is a tax for what I'm about to go through.
Yeah, let's go through that.
Cogs of Vastor. I have been playing around with this since they released it. I have sent Scott probably like 5 or 6 lists, all of them very similar, all of them bad.
Some of them are funny.
Yeah.
Three Lord of Skulls.
Yeah, three Lord of Skulls, but, that's fun. That's fun. Okay, so let's go through this, the Cogs of Vastor. The restrictions. All units from your army must be traitors to Stardaze. Your warlord must be Vastor the Arcaphane. With the exception of Vastor the Archfiend, your army cannot include any other named characters or Demon Prince models. So he is technically a Demon Prince, I guess. Even though he doesn't have the keyword. But just the Cogs of Vastor kind of get that same rule. Your army cannot include any Khorne Berserkers, Rubric Marines, Plague Marines, or Noise Marines. So no God-dedicated Marines. That's fine. All units from your army gain the Cogs of Vastor keyword. You have access to the Cogs of Vastor relics and stratagems. Units from your army gain the Techno Inferno Foci ability, see below, which we'll go over in a second. Detachments in your army never count as a Legion detachment. See Codex Space Marines. And you cannot use Legion-specific stratagems, relics, warlord traits, or psychic powers. Even if such attachment only contains Traitors to Stardaze units with the Black Legion keyword, it would not count as a Legion detachment. You cannot use Black Legion stratagems. You cannot give Black Legion characters, models, a warlord trait, or Black Legion-specific relic. So I think what that means, and maybe not, I have to go look at some wording, is that you get the generic Space Marine stuff, but you get none of the Legion stuff, which I got news for you. If you look through it, it's mostly Legion stuff. So I'll have to go and confirm that of whether or not you get the regular stuff, because I think you can still pick up like regular relics, use their stratagems to pick up extra warlord traits and extra relics so that you're not just stuck with one, because Chaos Space Marines, that's like their shtick. But don't quote me on that. I have not done enough research into the CSM book. I'm just thinking out loud. But okay, Techno Inferno Foci. If this unit has a Demon Engine keyword, it is always considered to be engaged in the Wanton Destruction, Wanton Massacre, and Wanton Slaughters. So Demon Engines explode all things to hit, which isn't bad. I like that a lot, actually, and it pairs nicely with what we'll talk about later. If this unit does not have the Demon Engine keyword, it is never considered to be engaged in Wanton Destruction, Wanton Massacre, and Wanton Slaughter. Why this is hilarious is, you know who does not have the Demon Engine keyword? That is Vashtor.
Oh man.
Oh man. It's Kashtor. You're paying for him. Whatever. Alright, they've got some specific relics that are pretty cool. Talisman of the Forge. Obviously all of these are Cogs of Vashtor models only. In your command phase, select one Demon Engine, friendly Demon Engine, within 9 inches of the bearer. 9 inches is big because that means you can be a little bit spread out. And that model has a 5-up Feel No Pain. That doesn't have the limitation of a Titanic, does it, Scott? Could you tag a Khorne Lord of Skulls with this and have a 30 wound, 5-up Feel No Pain dude roll around? I think
Brass
yes.
Brass Scorpion.
Oh, that is a Demon Engine, but now we're opening up the floodgates, baby. The next one is Helm of Cyberphage. This model has a falling ability. It's an aura. While friendly Demon Engines are within 6 inches of this bearer, each time that model makes an attack with targets a vehicle, improve the armor penetration characteristic by 1. The reason I think that this isn't bad is because it's shooting too, right? It's shooting and it's close combat. But
there's a lot of AP1, AP2 shooting that comes out of a lot of the Demon Engines, so...
Right, and a lot of AP2, actually. And so that's actually not bad. Bring it up to AP3. But again, it's only when you target vehicles. So...
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I'm spending a CP on that. And
there's everything, yeah.
Yeah, well, I saved the best for last. The Spirit of the Iron Goad. This is in your command phase. Select one friendly Demon Engine model within 9 inches of the bearer. Until the end of the turn, that unit is eligible to shoot and declare charge in a turn in which it fell back. So you can fall back, shoot, and charge with this relic. It is a command phase 9-inch buff that you select. Do you have the stratagems pulled up, Scott? I feel like I've been talking.
I do. Yeah, I have them pulled up here. So
why don't we go over the stratagems and have you talk about them?
Yeah, first one is Force Surge for 1 CP. Use this stratagem in your shooting phase with a Demon Engine. Excluding Titanic, from your army is chosen to shoot until the end of phase. Do not roll the number of dice for number of attacks. You just get max. So there's, like, I think there's several that have those.
Forge,
right?
Fiends with like the 2d3 attacks or the 3d3 attacks. Well, you could just make it 9. That's pretty cool.
Yep, that is really cool. It's shooting only, so that's pretty cool though. Master's Guidance, use a strategy shooting phase or fight phase until the end of the phase. The Warlord has the following ability. Master's Guidance Aura, friendly Daemon Angels within 6 inches of this model. Each time the model in that unit makes an attack, you can reroll the hit roll.
I love this stratagem.
This could make a pretty interesting castle if you could have Vashtor like behind obscuring so he can't be shot. But yeah, only, a bunch of demon edges.
The only bummer is that guess who the warlord is? Is that it's Vashtor?
Well, yeah, I mean you have him behind like obscuring so you can't get to him.
Yep.
And everything's get your demon engines within 6 inches of him so they can just unload. You know.
Yep.
So. That one is 2 CP, so it is a little spendy if you're using that in both phases for, say, like Lords of Skulls or something like that. You know, it can be spendy.
I don't know if I'm spending that on the fight phase. I'm going to shoot
you. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. This is if 40K is tends to be a shooting game more than a combat game.
Well, if you just look at all the Demon Engines data sheets that are out there, disregarding the Titanic ones. Yeah, okay, the Mauler Fiend, and then the rest are all, like, mostly shooting. And then the other ones are, like, Heldrakes, which aren't good at anything anymore. They're like, I have a small flamer. I shoot a couple of autocannon shots. I scratch. Kitty can scratch.
What about Defilers? They're awesome.
I don't like them for 175
No,
points.
I don't either.
Okay, we're getting distracted. What's this one next?
Cogitated Fates, 1 CP.
See, I had Scott do these because I can't pronounce these. So,
uses your shooting phase. Trader or starters unit in your army selected to shoot until the end of phase. That model, basically target don't get cover, which is big because you know that's one of the things with the Terminator units. Those guys will be sitting in cover, so they have a zero up save. So you need AP 4 to get them to their invuln. So that's pretty solid strat there. The other one is Glitch Cursed. Use this stratagem in your opponent's shooting phase when the enemy unit is within 18 inches invisible to your warlord. That's kind of shitty.
Let's give some more visible to Vashtor stuff. God.
Yes, you can't hide him on the stuff. So if any of those attacks targeted a Traitor Astartes unit in your army that is within 6 inches of your warlord, so within 18 inches invisible to him, plus within 6 inches, and the unit being shot has to be within 6 inches of him. Roll a d6 on a 2-4. The unit suffers d3 on a 5+. They take 3 mortal wounds.
So let me get this straight. You have all these prerequisites for this stratagem with distance that your opponent gets a move phase from, and then if you roll a 1, it doesn't do anything?
Yeah, but you still burn that CP. That's just bad.
Oh, anyway. There's other good stuff here, so let's keep going.
Yeah, here's a really good one coming up here. It's Kako Spark Rattle, 1 CP. It is Vect. It's uses strategy opponents when your opponent uses a stratagem other than command reroll. If your warlord is on the battlefield until end of the battle, CP cost your opponent must pay for to use that stratagem is increased by 1. You can only use it once per game. So
that's pretty good.
It says only once, but I assume they mean once per game.
Oh, whoops, man, I used it.
I used it round one of the tournament. I can't use it again the rest of the tournament. Shit.
Okay, anyway, Foul Alterations, 1 CP. Go ahead, take it away, Scott.
Use this stratagem in your movement phase when a demon engine for your army is selected to advance. Until the end of the turn, that unit is eligible to shoot and declare charges in a turn in which it advanced. So that's
Ooh,
pretty solid
I like that.
There.
I like that.
The one thing it doesn't, I don't know if there's rare rules that gets into that interaction. It says it's eligible to shoot. Like, so it doesn't say like assault weapons would not take the penalty for advancing in shooting. So you'd still take penalties for assault, but not for like heavy or rapid fire.
I haven't seen any assault weapons on any of the demon engines, okay. Except for a combi flamer. That's the only thing.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure, but it's just kind of a weird wording. It doesn't say like you're eligible to shoot as if you had not advanced or something like that. It just says you're eligible to shoot. So, and I think only assault guns have the rule that says if you advance and you take -1 to shoot them, anything else you're just not allowed to shoot. So
yeah, I'm just gonna go ahead and assume that they mean that you can shoot your guns
just regular. Yeah,
you're right, like regular, like not if you'd remain stationary, but as if you had whatever. They don't want to open up that can of worms.
Yeah, as if you just moved and shot a heavy weapon or something.
Correct.
Okay. It's the charge part there that's really good. You know, that does not have the Titanic limitation on that. So I think what Lord of Skulls moves 12 or 10?
I can't remember how far 10. They move. I think they move 10. They're not that fast. Yeah. But you can advance and shoot that guy, and then he can charge. How far was my charge? It was 7 inches. How far is my advance? 5 inches. I moved 15, 22 inches. Not quite the other person's deployment zone. Let's try and get this. All right, here we go. 2 inches, 12. It's not possible, the 12. 1, that's not possible. 4, we got possible. Nope. All right, so maybe it's not a great chance to happen.
Well, I mean, there's other... It's interesting that you can do that with that. Can you... You could advance... Well, yeah, if you advance and move in your Helldrakes, they can already get there.
They're 20-inch movement. Yeah, they're getting there.
But that works on Disco Lords. They're demon engines, right?
Sure does. That's my favorite part about it.
They move 12 base, right?
They move 12 base, correct.
Yeah.
12, 14, that's 20, 22 inches, smack stuff around. All right. I like it.
Yeah.
Now, here's an interesting point. I haven't looked into this either. What do you think is, do you think they can take marks on guys?
It doesn't say you can't.
So they specifically say you can't take Plague Marines and all that stuff, but I don't see anything about marks. Now, again.
Can Demon Engines take marks?
No, but you can take other stuff in the detachment that aren't Demon Engines. You don't have to be solely Demon Engines. You're just nerfed into the ground because you don't get Wontons.
Yeah.
But, some interesting stuff can happen with some of those characters with God-specific relics. I don't have... See, the problem is that when on my GW app, I'd have to go dig out my Chaos Space Marine Codex, because when you pull up the marks, it doesn't have the little blurb on the top which says something about the marks. Yeah. So, the reason I'm saying that is because it says in the Army of Renown that you don't count as a Legion... detachment. You're still a traitorous Astartes detachment, but you are not a Legion detachment. So I don't know.
That's where it opens up their all their strats that are non-Legion specific strats are all open to you then.
Yeah, the traitorous Astartes detachment is what opens that up. Correct. I don't believe that there's any way around that. They get access to the normal non-Legion space Chaos Space Marine stuff.
I know, back in, I think it was 8th edition when. One of our teammates, Reed, he was running 3 Lords of Skulls with the Master Possession and Cursed Earth. You know, that Cursed Earth is still an aura, right?
Yeah.
On the Master Possession. Is. So he could
be something there.
Yeah, he gives them an invuln or what? Or plus, is it plus 1 invuln or is it 4 up invuln?
It's a 4 up.
4 up.
So and then also it can do mortals when you get charged.
Yep. That's kind of a pretty cool one. So, I think there's some play here. I don't know if it's probably going to be super good. I can see some holes in this.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. But it looks fun. And I'm excited because it looks fun. Yeah, I'm probably not going to take it because I think that my Templar list could probably run it over, but whatever. But
I think there's enough Melta coming out of Marines that you took a bunch of vehicles, they're just going to smile and go.
They're just going to salvate over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see.
But in a team environment, maybe something like that. I know, I think part of your excitement over this is the fact that outside of, World Eaters just dropped, there's nothing. I don't know what's coming. There's nothing, they're not talking about anything coming. You know, there's all these rumors of 10th. I don't see them dropping another codex or even updated.
Everybody has a codex, so it's got to be 10th. Got to be 10th. And I saw some stuff
that never got
tacked...
updated would be the Space Marine supplements for Iron Hands, White Scars, those. That'd be the only thing. But I feel like you'd hear something about that by now, rumors trickling out about it.
Well, I've heard that that's probably going to be the first set coming out in 10th. But what I heard is, I've heard everything, so take whatever you can. I even heard that they're bringing in critical misses and glancing hits back, and I don't believe that for one second, but if they do, you're looking at the new Age of Sigmar champion here, because...
I've heard Index Hammer is most likely, but I don't know how much of that is really real rumors, or if it's just people making assumptions because 7th into 8th, we went to index. So 9th into 10th, they're just assuming we're going
right,
to index
again. Right, like we talked
again.
About previously when I was making assumptions myself. Well, predictions. I shouldn't say something.
You
know, the thing about GW is that they're unpredictable, right?
Yep.
Yeah. We're going to make flamers busted. Okay, well, I'd like to buy some flamers. Ah! Yeah, we don't got them. So, you know.
I'd really like to sell you a bunch of flamers. They're really good. I guess
I can't.
Hopefully we have an alternative supplier.
You know, I really like that Firestrike servo turret. I might give it a whirl. Ah, we're sold out. The servo turret?
I don't know if any. I didn't. Previously, you like talking about like trying that out. I didn't know of a single person who owned one of them.
And they're sold out now. I don't get it.
Well,
I'd like to buy an impulsor. Yeah, I got it. Ain't got it.
Well, it's like suppressors. Like I know some people were like looking at suppressors again with the Iron Hands coming back.
They still don't have a really solo popular box.
Yeah, you can't get them unless you buy the like combat patrol. Like. You're kidding me.
Hey, you want to know how to get China cast? This is how you get China cast, by not supplying people with the models that you release.
Well, can you even buy the Venom Crawler Demon Engine? Can you even buy that by itself still? That's one's still not solo.
Maybe. I haven't checked.
I've never seen it, so.
Anyway, we're getting sidetracked, but that's
yeah.
That's actually a pretty good sidetrack if you ask me, but.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Let's talk a little bit about
Adepticon, is that where you're going to go? I think it was.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, Adepticon. I have been to Adepticon since 2014. I have not missed a year since then. So that is, gosh, math is hard, 9 years running now.
Well, two COVID years you missed, but because there was.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. I haven't missed it since 2014, whatever, or 13. I don't remember what my first year was.
Yeah.
Whatever year, I don't remember. Tony Kopach won, whatever year that was. He was like a 16-year-old, and he was playing in the Youngbloods.
That was before Nick's four-peat, right, or whatever.
Correct.
When he wrote four times in a row. Because Matt won it in 2016?
Yeah, something like that. Anyway.
That was in his ITC run year, I think.
Yes. Yes, it was. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. The ITC year, he got second.
No, he won it with his with the Tyranids.
He did, but his ITC year, he got second at Adepticon with core convocation. Anyway,
that's
Adepticon.
That
so there's a couple of things about Adepticon. One, if you're playing in the championships, it is always been the same, and that's not necessarily a good thing. And I don't say that lightly. I don't talk smack about tournaments on podcasts unless I really mean it. And it's not like it's a bad time, but you will give people the feel bads because they just don't update their stuff. Now, I've seen some better terrain recently. I'm not saying it's like the best, but it's better than it was. So the terrain is something to watch out for. They are doing player placed terrain. The thing to know about Adepticon is that it's engineered pretty well from a con perspective. As a convention, it is a great convention. But the part of it that is kind of a bummer for us 40K people is that that also ties into 40K. And what that means is that the championships is one day, four games. And then if you make top 16, you have another possible three games. Or four, another possible four games that you could play, but a single elimination. But they did that because they used to want to have everybody experience the convention. Because the convention main stuff is like Saturday, Sunday, Friday, you know, and some of it's Thursday. But the 40K players would get to then experience the convention because there's a big team tournament on the weekend where you had to play all your games. There was no finalists, which was like, you could correct me if I'm wrong here, Scott, but I believe they will say that the team tournament is their flagship event, not the championships.
I mean, it's a super major, so that's part of the reason why I'm going to the singles, because it's a super major within 5 hours of my house.
Yeah,
that makes me want to go to it. But the team event, getting to play in that last year, like I had a good time at the singles, even though the terrain wasn't the best, but and there was you know, Void Weavers there.
Yep.
But the team event, you know, where you're playing, you know, you each get 1,000 points and you're paired with, you have to play with one of your teammates at least once during the game. And then you pair up the other two at some point in time. Then the other two games are just kind of whoever you want to be with. And it was so much fun, like where just the camaraderie with the other team, because like not everybody's there to like win games, because like there's so many prizes for it, you know, getting all the line breakers, which that was the award we won. You know, we line breaked in all 10 of our games.
If you aren't familiar with Linebreaker was an old tertiary where you got for having something in your opponent's deployment zone at the end of the game.
Yeah. So we did that in all 10 of our games. That means the game, because you're playing two games at once in the 5 rounds. So we did in all 10 of them. So, and we had a pretty good record at the end of the event as well. I think we were like, I don't know, like 3-1.
We were tied in games won versus lost for first place, and we failed to get best general by 3 battle points.
Okay. Yeah. So we had a great event on top of it. So, but there's also like on the painting side of stuff, there was one display board that looked like the golden throne that the emperor sits on. And it had on the backside, it had a whole bunch of levels where they had all their models on there. There was like another one where like
Art of War brought a strike class cruiser that the gray shields were coming down onto the planet to save the Blood Angels port. And it was sick. And yeah. I was impressed because ours looked like dog.
we're trying on that this year. We're actually putting in some effort here this year on that. So there was like another one where like demon engines were like attacking like this space base and stuff. You know, I talked to a few of the guys that had like some of the really awesome display boards, and they were completely honest. They basically work on it from when Adepticon ends, they start working on it until the next Adepticon. And that's just what they enjoy. That's their part. So, and it's fun.
I'm pretty sure the Tundra Tactics guys did very well in that too. Weren't they the one with the Grey Knight one with the lights?
Yep, I think so. Yep.
With
yeah,
Cameron
there's some
Pinheiro.
Yeah, there's some really good hobbyists on that team too. You know, we have James Kelly on our team who's a phenomenal hobbyist. So, and Zoe as well. So.
Yep.
It's kind of fun.
Rob Seeley.
Yep. And like, you know, and like I think one of the other Frozen North teams that came, Tim, Aaron, Jason, I can't remember who the fourth
Bill.
One was. Bill. And those guys, they had a great time playing with Tau and stuff there. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. So to get back onto track, the reason that I was bringing all up of how and why the Adepticon is the way it is because it's a convention first and a 40K tournament second. Most of their income or from badges is not from 40K. Imagine that, because it's like 10,000 or more people show up to this now. So as much as they want to be, they can't be. But so there's a little bit of understanding there. But on the flip side, I'm glad they're updating their terrain. I wish they would just switch to a 6-round format or maybe even an 8-round format with no maybe a top 8 after 5 or 6 rounds or something like that. But the team tournament, don't change it. I think it's fine. It's great. It brings everybody out to the table. I think there was one year where I came back because we forgot some models back at the hotel, and I had to rush back. I came back, and my entire team was shirtless. And I was like, what? What did I miss? It was because we were fighting some Catachin fighters who were cosplaying, and they were shirtless as well. So... and that was kind of fun. We were Tyranids, so it didn't make sense for us to have shirts on, I guess. Whatever. But anyway, it's like the spirit of the game really comes out in this team tournament.
Yep.
And I think Arena ruined this pretty well, and now it just does it itself, right? They don't do any advertising like, come get your spirit on, you know, bring your hobby to the max. People just know Adepticon Teams is the place for this. So. Yep. And it's a lot of fun. If you're planning on ever doing Adepticon, I highly suggest a team tournament.
Yeah, and as somebody who didn't make, so Ben made top 16 last year. I didn't. We had traveled together. So I spent, so walking around the event after, like, I had been eliminated on Friday while Ben was playing was, like, a ton of fun. They have the GW store there, which at I guess it's at a lot of the major events, the GW events themselves, plus like I think Nova has one, LVO has one. I'm not sure where outside of Adepticon, like the three big ones, I guess, kind of get them here. And like last year there were some prints. We got a Sigismund print, and then I got one of the galaxy during the Horus Heresy, kind of lists out some of the planets where all the Primarchs were from and whatnot. Just kind of some really, really cool pictures you can get there. Memorabilia for your walls and whatnot. So obviously I don't have any of them up.
Siggy's gonna be up office behind me soon. I have a frame for him now.
I got mine framed. It's been framed for like 6 or 7 months. I just haven't hung it anywhere. I was negotiating with the wife if I could put it out in like the main basement area where I have my table and stuff. And I think I finally won that battle. So we'll see.
Dude, if my table, it's not, I'm not asking. I'm just putting it up.
Yeah. Well, I don't like sleeping on the couch.
Anyway,
no, she's accepted my nerdiness now after 10 years. So,
yep.
But the one thing I will say about like the terrain, like this year, it looks like they almost look like the starter set ones that you've seen, like the Orbital Command set, I think is what it was called. Kind of big boxy pieces. I hope they're not magic boxes that infantry can go in, cause that'd be kind of stupid.
Magic.
Yeah. But in the past last year was my first year in the event. I knew going in that the terrain wasn't going to be spectacular or anything, but the size of some of the pieces is what surprised me. They're good, like 8-9 inches by 12 plus inches, you know, like square, kind of rectangle type pieces. They're not rectangles. They're oblong, kind of weirdly shaped, but they did rule that the forests were obscuring as well as the ruins. So every piece obscured. But they're just so ginormous, and the speed of some of the units, like Void Weaver, was just so fast. Like they're just so good on that terrain.
Yep.
We played Eldar in the teams, and Ben, you played Eldar in the champs, and they were just so fast and so good on there, because you could just get in touch one of those obscured, and you could literally see the entire board.
Pretty much, yep.
There was no hiding from it. So, and I was playing Custodes with bikes, and at that time they were a very broken army too. So, I mean, I was doing it with bikes. I'd run, move my bikes up, tag the train, and just shoot salvos at you, you know. So, just be aware if you're going. That's something to be aware of. I don't see them replacing every single table this year. There's just no way they're going to be able to do that. I think they're 256 players.
Yep.
I think is what sells out at.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, people will, you'll hear other podcasts and other places just kind of rip on this event. It still sells out in like 2 weeks. Like, and some of it's just the history of it, but like.
Yeah, I think a lot of them just don't understand. A lot of them are coming from a Warhammer perspective and not a convention perspective.
Anyway. Yeah, yep. And they're, and like, that's the one thing about in the 40K event, like in the champs, like my first two opponents were just very nice people, but they were there just to roll dice and have fun, and they were playing the champs because they were there for the teams. That was why they were there. And then I hit John Lennon, and that was that. And then my third round was like another player who he was there for the competitive side of things, you know. And so I mean, it's kind of a mixture. I think it's a lot more diverse than you would see at a normal just 40K GT, where the lower ends is a lot lower. And the higher end is still very high because it is a super major.
Right.
Still, it is worth a ton of ITC points. And if you're in the US and, you know, it's within an 8-hour drive for you, it's something you should go to.
Yeah. I totally agree. Totally, absolutely agree. Sometimes they make some questionable rulings as well. Like, you can't move the trees to get into the forest. So.
Yeah.
What do you. Those of you who don't know their terrain, they have big crystals as forests, and so I'm like, I think even more than just actual regular trees. So if you can't move them, and you can't move through them, how do you get in the forest? Yeah, I guess you could just tow it, and then you're never moving it, because you have to go up and over then, essentially.
Yeah.
So.
And knights would just be trapped in their deployment zones, or have very narrow bands to get out, and you can just move block them and trap them in there. Yeah. That's a thing.
Yep. That's a thing.
Yeah. So
anyway, for Adepticon, it's we still suggest it. It's a great convention. I will say parking is kind of a nightmare there, but hotel situation, there's plenty of hotels nearby. Like, you don't need to stay at the venue, but if you want to, it's kind of expensive. I've never actually stayed at the venue, but
that venue I was trying to get tickets to get a hotel room at the venue last year because I think that was before Matt had even moved there, and it sold out in like 5 minutes. The entire hotel. It's insane. We parked and we had to walk from like the back of the parking lot, which was maybe, you know, we had to walk a couple hundred yards to get in there because the convention hall is really close to where the front door is. So it's a shorter walk from the back of the parking lot there to the convention hall than it is from your room to the LVO convention hall.
That's true. That is true.
So there's worse out there.
There is. There is, but anything else you want to touch on with Adepticon?
Lists are due on the 16th, so I think after those are submitted, then you and I, we can start talking about what we're bringing for lists and stuff. I mean, I'm bringing Black Templars. I believe you're bringing Black Templars as well.
Yes, sir.
You just went 5-0 with a list, so I'm sure it'll be something similar to that.
Exactly.
You know. Yeah, maybe exactly the same. It's like you've been practicing for Adepticon.
Yep.
I think I'm bringing the clown cars at this point, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, I like the clown cars. They're fun too.
Yeah, it's got more depth to it than when, if you just look at the list, there's more depth to it than what you really think is there at first glance. So.
Right.
And absolutely. Then, yeah. We'll go more in depth into our list, and we can even talk about our team's list as we get a little closer to and what all goes into that. Cause like we've been working on our team now for probably, I think we kind of settled on our army after this latest, data slate dropped. It's kind of,
yeah, we kind of had to wait, right? Because we want to be, the point change is big, and being the cohesive force that it is, like, we decided on Eldar probably around the same time last year. So,
well, I think it was a little later because the book dropped in early February, I think, is when that book dropped. And that's kind of when we decided on that. So, because you had a ton of Eldar. I have a ton of Eldar. Tim had a ton of Eldar.
Yeah.
Matt's just there.
Matt always bandwagons on whatever we're doing. But
yeah. Yeah. He's just a phenomenal player. He can pick up any army and play. So,
yep.
Yeah. So. This will be the first. This year I'll be playing this. Like, I know that was one thing, like, Tim Royers had suggested to me is playing the same faction in the champs as you do in the teams is normally a good idea, at least because it gets you familiar with that army too. Last year I did that, but this year I will be. So.
Yep. All good. Well, that's what I got for Adepticon. You know, I still think Adepticon's a good time. I think their 40K side needs a little bit of life read into it, but yep. I think they're working on that. I know that they've got some different judges this year. I know that Jason Lippert is less involved, I think, which that's okay. You know, they've been running it for forever. I don't know if I could do that many years in a row. You know, I've done Renegade.
Yeah, I think he's taken a more of a leadership position at the convention itself, which mm-hmm. you know, he's earned that at this point. So
right, correct. So. Last thing I want to talk about is, you know, if you guys are looking for some help, you know, go ahead and check us out on the Patreon. It's www.patreon.com/AW40K. You can check out our website at www.advancedwarfare40k.com. You can see our cool little headshots, little blurbs about us. And if you want some help, you can definitely get some. We also do an extended version of this podcast. So check us out if you want to. I don't have anything else to go over tonight, Scott. Do you have anything you want to touch on?
Well, I think just like in the up, so our next upcoming like kind of content after Adepticon, I think we're going to be prepping for the GW team event. So, you know, that's kind of a whole different animal other than the singles, you know, as you kind of venture into that. So I'm really, really excited for that. I think the last time I did a big team, a 5-man team event was ATC 2019. So. And that was,
they're a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it quite a bit.
That was probably one of my favorite events I think I've ever been to, because it's the team thing, you know, like there is something to say about Team 40K. I do enjoy singles, but Team 40K has its own perks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll be diving in as we kind of talk through how we're going to be picking lists and how the type of lists you want to pick, the attacker defender type roles and things like that. So.
And Advanced Warfare is actually sending a team down there. Myself, Scott, and three other assailants who will be named later. But obviously, me and Scott are going to go. Obviously. So, well, thank you guys for listening. And if you guys have any questions, feel free for you to reach out. You can reach us out on the Facebook page. You can also message me or Scott directly. And we can help in any kind of point, any kind of direction. And also, you know, thank you guys for listening. And we will catch you next time.